For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing out? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace days out? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless, solid, white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood?
Blood in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow?
The blood of the Lamb. Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the
blood in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed in the blood in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Over the years, I have been teaching on the subject of salvation, and it never ceases to amaze me how people become riled up when you talk of being saved by grace through faith alone. For some reason, people seem to think that you have to do something to earn the kingdom of God. Regardless what your religious background is, human nature believes he has to do something to earn the kingdom of God. I will give you an example, a very extreme example. The Islam faith teaches that when a man kills an infidel, even if in the process he kills himself, then he is guaranteed eternal life. And to the Muslim, the Islam faith, anybody who is an infidel is somebody who doesn't have the Muslim faith. This is what those people are being taught from a very young age. This is how religions operate. I remember I myself was brought up in a Hutterite system, and they taught me that if I will stay in that system throughout my life and be faithful to the system until the day I die, then heaven is guaranteed for me. That's what I thought when I was a young boy and even to being a young man, until I started reading the Word of God. And then my eyes were opened to the fact, regardless what you try to do, you cannot earn heaven. Heaven is an incredible place, and there is nothing that we human beings can do to earn it. The Bible teaches that over and over again. So what is the root teaching for a person to gain eternal life? It is a little word called faith. Faith in the finished work of the cross. Regardless how smart you are, regardless how educated you are in Scripture, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God until you have faith in the finished work of the cross. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, we are all the children of God by what? By faith in Jesus Christ. How does one get to have faith in Jesus? I know many people have tried the religious way by doing something. How on earth do we achieve that faith that can guarantee us eternal life? Today I will teach on that subject. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message so that people can hear and see. We are fast approaching your coming back for your bride, and we need to be ready for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the scriptures. I ask you to bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 12 that the Lord God has given to every man a measure of faith. And every person nurtures that faith in the way that he is being taught. As a Hutterite, I grew up having faith in the Hutterite system. And I nurtured it, and it was nurtured by others, until I became a young man. And my faith grew in the system until I started to read the Word of God. And then I had to switch that faith to something else. The measure of faith was there. Just because we have faith doesn't mean that our faith is geared towards the right thing. We, the human being, have the responsibility to direct our faith towards the right thing. Many different religions direct their faith in many different directions. And you could put different religions together, they would argue and even kill one another that their faith is right, that what they believe in is right. History has proven that over and over. So the question is, with that measure of faith, what do you want to do with it? If you're like me, you want to enter into the kingdom of God, because I believe every human being's goal is to enter into the kingdom of God. That's why all those religions have been formed over the centuries. It's a human being's effort to enter into the kingdom of God. So the faith that has been given to us, here is what you do with it. You direct it towards what the Word of God says. You start believing in Scripture. You start to build up your faith in what Scripture teaches about entering into the kingdom of God. So the question is often asked, how does one start? Is it just a repeat after me prayer that you pray with somebody? That can be a good start, but I have a feeling many people nonchalantly pray that prayer and nothing happens to them. The first scripture that I would recommend somebody to study is found in James chapter 4, verse 10. It tells us this: humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's the beginning. Regardless how good we become at studying Scripture, if we do not humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will not remove the scales from our eyes. The veil will stay there. I will give you an example. Charles Darwin, who was the inventor of the evolution theory, started out as a preacher. And when the Lord allowed Satan to test him and try him, like everybody is being tried, he failed the test. He became bitter against God. How was he tried? One of his children became sick and died. And that was the proof that he had not nurtured his faith towards the finished work of the cross. He was not grounded and settled upon the rock. You may ask the question, how can somebody be a preacher and still fall away from God and even go into evolution? It is very simple. The person does not humble himself in the eyes of God. And this is what I believe is the problem with many so-called Christians who are not sure of their salvation. They are not humbled before God yet. They still hang on to something that they hold dear. They still worship some other god. This is the cause of many people turning away from the faith. It is because they haven't been settled and ground upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So the question will be asked, how can one make sure that he is grounded and settled upon the foundation? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it tells us, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and him that knocks it shall be opened unto him. This is what the Bible teaches. So I have to tell you, do not give up. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you. This is a promise of God. Many people will say, I have asked the Lord into my heart about 50 times already. I have heard that confession over and over again. But I still feel insecure. I'm still not sure whether the Lord has saved me yet. The main reason for that is because you're not really sure whether God will save you, especially if you have grown up in a religious system. There is still that nagging doubt in you and that nagging feeling that somehow you have to do something for Him. That will destroy your faith every time. You need to lay everything at the foot of the cross and humble yourself in the sight of God, and then He will lift you up, regardless who you are or where you come from. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." This is coming back to this verse found in Matthew chapter 7. "Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you." If you will not give up, that means you believe that He will reward you. This is why so many people have the assurance of salvation. They have pressed through. They have entered into that rest that Hebrews chapter 4 talks about. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man falls into unbelief." Why is it so critical that a person finds the assurance of salvation? It's so that you will not get discouraged and fall into unbelief. You need to settle it into your heart. You need to seek and find that rest. And the only way to find that rest is to knock, to seek, and to ask. The Lord will surely give it to them that diligently seek Him. Where does that leave you today? Have you got assurance of salvation? Do you know that you belong to God? This is a very important question that I'm asking here, because we are fast heading towards some very interesting, confusing times. The Bible teaches us that every foundation that is not of Him will crumble and fall. And I know for a fact that many religious people who call themselves Christians are not grounded and settled on the rock of Jesus. You need to bring that out before God today. You do not have much time left. The world is about to see an incredible shaking. The Bible teaches us that the deception and the confusion will be beyond imaginations. People will run to and fro seeking. So the question has to be settled in every person's heart. Do you know that you belong to God? Are you born again by the Spirit of the living God? Have you been seated in heavenly places? Are you a purchased possession? Are you sealed unto the day of redemption? Do you know that you have inherited eternal life? Be serious with yourself. Ask yourself that question. If you cannot for sure say yes to all of these, then you need to humble yourself in the eyes of God, in the sight of God. Humble yourself before Him, and the Lord will in no wise push you away. He is willing that none shall perish. He will open your eyes to the truth. And once your eyes are opened, the great mystery is revealed, and you will see your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Apostle Paul talks about a mystery that is being revealed in those last days. And that mystery is the mystery of salvation by faith in the finished work of the cross. This is where God wants you, and this is where He's trying to lead you to that cross which will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness and iniquities. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, there is a very famous scripture that teaches us that the just shall live by faith. This scripture is what caused the split between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church 500 years ago. Yes, when Martin Luther, a Roman Catholic monk, stood up and proclaimed that the just shall live by faith, that started the Reformation. That started the split between the Roman Catholics and the Protestants. And they have been at odds with each other those 500 years now. And much persecution has come out from that, where many, many people have had to suffer and die for the sake of the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, I got good news for the Catholics today who are listening to this program. In October of 2008, the Pope declared that the only way into heaven is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, in the finished work of the cross. After 500 years, they finally came to the revelation that it's only by grace through faith that one enters into the kingdom of God. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it tells us, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This is good news, and this is how it always has been. The just shall live by faith. This is what religious people need to understand. It's not your works, it's not your righteousness, because your righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God when it comes to salvation. We can only attain it by believing and trusting that Jesus paid the sin penalty for us. Yes, today there are many religions who are trying desperately to somehow enter into the kingdom of God by doing good works. The Bible teaches us it's not by works of righteousness. We have to come by faith in the finished work of the cross. Then there are those who are trying to explain away God. Like the evolutionists. The evolutionists will proclaim that this world started out with a big bang, and over the eons of millions of years, we have evolved into a human being. The underlying reasoning for this is simple. Those people simply want to avoid the judgment that is waiting for the eternal soul. They know if there is a God, then there's going to be a judgment and an accountability. So they came up with this idea that there is no God. We somehow have evolved from nothing. They are trying to tell themselves, we are going to escape the judgment that is declared by God. And this goes for those also who claim a soul shall die. In Ezekiel chapter 20, it tells us, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But what this scripture means is this, the soul that sins shall die spiritually. How does one die spiritually? He will be eternally separated from God and will be thrown into the lake of fire, where the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. And if you want to try to tell yourself that his soul will die and cease to exist, this is simply an indication that you're like the evolutionist. You want to escape the judgment and the punishment of God. It is the judgment and accountability to God which is the root of the argument of the evolutionist and of the argument of them that teach that the soul dies or there is no hell. They are afraid of the judgment. Why don't you just take the word of God at face value? Receive the forgiveness of sin. Humble yourself in the eyes of God. He will lift you up and you will not have to worry about the judgment day that is surely going to come soon. Yes, we are fast approaching the incredible judgment day that is prescribed in Revelation chapter 20. People need to study that because it is not far in the future. The Lord will open your heart to those truths and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.